Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. I'm Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve today, and I am blessed because I'm sitting between Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
And Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, hi. Good to be with you. I almost said a rose between two thorns, and then I went, well, no, that's
the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. But we love you, Larry.
Oh, well, it's good to be here. As we get started, I want to promote, first off, we have a workshop starting this Friday. It's a Restore workshop, and I want to read a testimony from a previous workshop a lady wrote to us. And she said, before coming to the workshop, I felt like I was on a roller coaster, one day up, one day down. I had no confidence in standing for what I think should be. Everything was a secret, and I was incredibly burdened, carrying my husband's issues, covering for and protecting him. It was exhausting, depressing, and debilitating. This weekend has been miraculous, truly. It has given me tools, hope, and connection. It's been a game changer, and I'm returning home stronger and determined. I'm leaving the workshop with a network of sisters and the confidence that I deserve to work on me. If you're struggling with your husband's sexual infidelity, do not hesitate to come to this workshop. Jump in. Though it was scary, it's the most amazing experience of my life. So, ladies, I just, if you're listening and you've had that experience with your husband's sexual infidelity, please give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE. Anything either of you would like to add to that?
Well, I bet her line about covering and protecting resonates with a lot of women out there. And whether it's protecting someone's sexual addiction or any kind of addictive behavior, we can get pulled into that and we think it's the best way to love the person. Mm-hmm. Maybe we weren't bullied into covering for them and protecting them, but it's exhausting and it's not the role God asks us to take. And so I hope that liberates you folks listening to open your eyes to that if you're doing that, and to allow us to help take that burden off of you.
And you know what's so common with sexual acting out is the shame gets attached to us. The partner feels shame over what's happened. And so what happens is we pull away. We don't get the help we need. And when we don't get the help we need to heal, we can't even fight for our family. We can't even stop the craziness that's happening around us. So I just love her testimony. And I want to say, don't wait. Give us a call. We can help you with this and help your whole family come out of this. But it starts with you.
It does. And it's this Friday in Washington, D.C. And there's plenty of room. You can call. You need to be there. Just take this to heart. Just think of what this lady said. It was scary, but the most amazing experience of her life. And we hope you'll have the same thing. Also, I want to encourage you to make a gift to New Life. When you give to New Life, you're helping life change. And I want to especially appeal for our scholarship fund. Our scholarship fund is getting lower than it needs to be. And if it gets to zero, that puts us in a real spot, because we have promised that we will never never let money be the reason you don't come to a workshop. So we've done that because the scholarship fund is healthy, and we need to get it restored again. So would you please make a gift to New Life? We'll send you a calendar. We've got a great wall calendar for 2020. And it's a great pic. Most of the pictures were taken from our staff and people that we know here at New Life. So give us a call. And call, if you want to be on radio, call us, 800-229-3000. Sherry and Alice are just kind of chomping at the bit right here, waiting to help you with whatever your life struggles are. And so we'll take your calls as soon as we come back, right after this. Thanks.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn. Pray for Steve today. He is under the weather, kind of a last-minute thing for us here. But we know he'll get well and be back at this real quick. Let's go and talk with, where are we at? Let's talk to Joanne, Miami, Florida. She listens on podcasts. Hello, Joanne. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What can we help you with?
Well, my husband and I have been married for 3 years. It's a second marriage. We had previously been married for 15 years each. And I had an affair in my first marriage, and I shared that with my now husband before we even really started dating, when we were first talking. And I had come to forgiveness through God, and he had told me, you know, you're forgiven, and I really felt like this man understood me, and we had a good first year of marriage, I felt like, and then I changed jobs from a work-from-home job to a job in a male-dominated industry as a financial advisor, and our trust level, for some reason, and I don't understand, has gone from a 10 to a 0. And I've sworn to him there's been nothing inappropriate, but it's slowly but surely deteriorated month by month from going through my, you know, texts and my accounts and just trying to find some sort of basically evidence that I'm doing something. He's very convinced that this is going to end the first way my first marriage did, and that he is going to be hurt. And listening to a previous podcast, I thought maybe this is betrayal trauma, but I'm feeling stuck and not sure what to do next.
So I would say you're right. He is feeling fear over, he has betrayal trauma surrounding your acting out. Does he have a history of betrayal in his past?
Yes.
Okay.
His first wife had cheated on him a couple of times when they were dating, and then he's not sure about what had happened in their marriage, but he did find some inappropriate texts. Hey. So, and we did go to the Intimacy and Marriage Conference, and our counselor had said, you know, that he was likely transferring unresolved issues from his first wife, you know, onto me as well, just because he had never been able to really deal with that.
Hey, Joanne?
Initially.
Joanne,
yes.
All right. Mike is calling also. Would you be okay? Would you guys
yes.
be okay if the three of you, both of you were on the line at the same time?
Yes, I'd okay. be fine with that. Thanks.
Awesome. Wow.
Okay, we're together. So go ahead, Sherry.
Hey, Mike. Welcome to the call. We're hearing from Joanne.
Hi.
And you know how lovely it is to have both of you on the call with us. So Joanne got to share.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Joanne got to share her side of what she thought was going on.
Yeah, we understand you've had past betrayal. So
can you give us
there is Yeah, absolutely. I can give you a little bit of background. As Joanne said, we were both married for about 15 years, and there was infidelity in both of our paths. She had, I believe, from what she had told me, some verbal abuse, and that was a contributing factor to the end of her marriage. But she also had an affair with the next-door neighbor, which played a big role in ending her marriage. And that relationship continued right up until we met. And I guess from speaking with her, that relationship was kind of off, on again, off again. And she had reached out to me through a dating website at a time that they were taking a break. So they were off. And so then she reached out to me. We started communicating. And then she, you know, kind of took a break for about a week, because I guess she went back with this other fella, and then came back to me again after about a week. We started talking again, and it was shortly thereafter we went on a first date. We were together for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and it was great. Everything was, you know, we were connecting. I thought things were terrific. And then after about 4 weeks, all of a sudden she was pulling the plug and wanting to break up with me. And I didn't understand it at the time. In hindsight, it was because she was trying to get back with this other fella and give it a chance with him again, because of the on again, off again nature of their relationship. So I think that really, when I found that out, I fought for our relationship. I said, hey, I'm not willing to let this go. I feel like we have a good thing here. And so ultimately she did decide to stay with me, and she let that relationship go. But, you know, during that 4 week period when we were together, she had asked me if it would be okay if she texted this guy or talked to him, because she missed that relationship. And our relationship, you know, we dated for just about a year and a half, and they got married.
Okay,
we moved in together.
Let me ask a question. Do both of you want to make this work, your marriage?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay, so if I want to ask each of you to tell me what your question would be for Sherry and Alice, if you had a question, just one at a time. So, Joanne, why don't you tell us, what would your question be?
My question is, how do I convince him that my heart is 100% with him, and that I've not done anything inappropriate, and will he can trust me?
Okay, Mike, what would your question
seems
be?
Like my,
my question would be, with her working in a male-dominated industry now, and with the past, And you know, she had revealed to me that she developed a crush on a coworker prior to us meeting, and I have concerns just that this history is going to repeat itself,
okay.
And that she's very active on social media, and I've asked her to be transparent with me, and
okay.
She's kind of pushed back and gets angry whenever I ask her to be transparent with me, and it escalates into a fight, and so I struggle with, you know, we're living apart right now because we're a blended family with 6 kids, and that, I think, contributes to things, because there is a distance between us. We're not living together. And so there's days that go by that we don't even see each other. So it's a very complicated situation, very unusual. And we did that just because we weren't managing the co-parenting piece real well. So it's not ideal, but we're trying to make the best of it. So my question is just, how do I manage my trust issues with her need to feel trusted? Like, I have a need for transparency. I want to trust her, but she gets very upset when I ask her to be transparent with me, and
okay.
Does not want to.
Okay, we get it.
Kind of
we get it. So, who wants to jump in first here?
So, okay. Bottom line, let me talk with you, Mike, first. First off, I'm really glad you're both on the phone, and we're all like rooting for you guys right now. But let me tell you what happens in our hearts, in our minds, when we experience betrayal. There is a belief, Mike, that I can hear is bouncing around in your brain, and it sounds like this: I can't trust anyone. And the reason that's bouncing around in your brain is because your first wife, there was some, you know, cheating from what Joanne told us in your courtship. And then, you know, you found some text messages in the marriage. And you're not in that relationship. But that betrayal trauma and the wounds of your heart, that negative belief, that shame belief that got wired in at the crime scene in your original marriage hasn't been healed. So then you meet Joanne, and she's coming out of an affair. Now, my question to you is, what prompted you with her ambivalence to move towards her and to marry her with that initial concern about her fidelity? Can you share that? Tell Alice and I and Larry about that. What prompted you to stay the course when you were already nervous?
Well, I guess she, you know, she was very upfront with me and told me early on about the affair, and then she had developed a crush on a coworker, although it was, I think it was just an emotional affair, nothing physical happened as far as I know. But I was very appreciative of the fact that she was upfront with me and so repentant about it, and, you know, realized that she had made a mistake. And we have been going to counseling throughout the course of our marriage, and like her the nature of her personality is that it's difficult for her to be content, and so it leaves me feeling like I can't make her happy. And I've expressed this concern to other counselors, and they said the counselor that we had before, we're now with a new counselor, but the previous one said, he affirmed what I said. He said, you know, you're right. I know her well, and you're not going to make her happy.
Okay, so, but that's a different issue. I want to stay the course. I want to stay the course on the betrayal, because that's the belief I'm not enough. Okay, that's separate. Okay. What I'm asking you about is that trust, what she did, because she was so repentant and she was honest with you to bring all of that, guess what you did? You made a decision to trust her. So what's changed?
Right.
She's still up front. She's still up front with you. What has changed?
The only thing that's changed really is that she's now working in a male-dominated industry, so it has tweaked some of the trust issues and concerns for me. And it's also the fact that, like, when I've asked her to be transparent with me, like, especially when it comes to, like, social media accounts and things like that, that she's pushed back and kind of gets angry when I ask for those things. And it just makes me feel like she has something to hide.
Totally get that.
Let's hear from Joanne a little bit. We're going to run out of time here.
Yeah.
Joanne?
The only thing I would disagree with in that piece is that I have been as transparent as I possibly know how. He has my passwords to my Facebook. I actually joined his name and my name to our Facebook account, so it's one account. And I'm not sure what else that I can do in that respect. So I was very sad. I wasn't angry when he asked me for transparency. I just felt like, I said, I felt like it's almost like TSA when they go through your stuff at the airport. It's like, fine, go ahead and go through everything, but it doesn't make it, like, kind of kills the romance factor. So it makes me sad and feels like I just realize that our trust level's at a zero.
So, but let me share this. Let me share this. It's not TSA. It's not TSA, my dear. It's his ability to trust you. And for the rest of your life, because of what happened with the affair, you're going to have to lay that right down. You're going to have to let him ask you when he's afraid. But this is what he needs to do, Mike. And I want to hear from Alice, but I just want to say this, Mike, I want you to get in to do some work, because you got triggered when she changed jobs. That's your issue to work on. And I want you to do some EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, around that negative belief that I can't trust anyone. Because you've got to move to a place that I can choose whom to trust. You're going to have to let that down, but she can help you by being honest, transparent, less defensive, and just realizing this is your lot in life. This is your marriage. And trust grows over time. Alice? Yeah.
Joanne, I want you to take Sherry's advice one step further, which is rather than just waiting for Mike when he's afraid, to offer to him, hey, I'm on my Twitter account, I'm on my whatever account, come and look, I want to share it with you, I want to show it to you, I want to ease your heart. The more often you can make those invitations, I think the less Mike will need them. And you can kind of beat him to the punch with that and invest in that trust by being the first to offer on a regular, ongoing basis. And Mike, when you are feeling the fear, I want to give you some wording. I'd ask you to start by telling Joanne, I'm scared right now, and I could really use some reassurance, reassurance that you love me, reassurance about people at work. Would you sit with me, pray with me, and reassure me? That sort of gentle invitation will be more palatable to Joanne, and I think it will soften her ability to answer you and not get sad or not get upset or defensive.
I'd like to suggest that we send them how we love and that they especially pay attention to the comfort circle and the holding time.
Yeah. And can I send them my book, Intimate Deception,
sure.
Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal? Because there's some betrayal wounds here that can be attended to. You don't have to live with these triggers ongoing. So
I want to thank you guys for your bravery. I got to know, did you guys talk to each other and say that each of you were going to call this program, or was this a real, really funny, rare, unique situation?
It's just prompting.
Kind of a funny, unique situation.
Loyal listener.
We were encouraged to call, and I guess we just both...
Well, thanks for your bravery, and thanks for calling. We'll be right back after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to go right back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Levi in Palmer Lake, Colorado, listens on KGFT. Hello, Levi. How can we help you today?
Hi. I've been on quite a journey with God the past few years. I'll just be out upfront about it. I struggle with same-sex attractions, and about a year and a half ago when I was at college, I was unashamedly living in the lifestyle and making poor decisions, but I moved back home, and God got a hold of my heart and woke me up to reality, and He's been super awesome about walking with me on this path towards, just sort of walking in the lifestyle He's called me to live in. And we've been doing fantastic, and I've been having a great time with him. And recently, I had some of those old desires perk up, and I had up my heels again, and I tripped up, and I succumbed a little bit, and I felt really awful, and, you know, was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be free. But I guess my question is just, you know, obviously we're sinners, and we need God's grace and mercy, but sometimes I feel like I'm such a wreck, and sometimes I deliberately choose the wrong mistake, but I want to make the right decision. I'm just so desperate, you know.
So what's your question?
I'm just looking for, just that if, you know, if that grace is extended to me despite the fact that I, you know,
why,
made a bad decision.
I got to ask you a question. Why do you think it wouldn't be?
I guess I just sort of have this idea that I need to learn that God's love is, I don't know, I always feel like there's a limit to it. It surprises me when I feel like his love is so great. I sometimes feel it's limited still.
Levi, is the grace extended by your family and your loved ones? Is it limited and dependent on your behavior?
Yes.
And how do they treat you with what you're going through?
Initially, it wasn't great at all. There was a lot of talk of, when I first opened up about the stuff, I got threats about being kicked out of the family and that kind of stuff, and, you know, that I'm not their son. And of course, after the initial hit, they've grown quite a bit, and they're a lot more loving now, but there is still that fear that they have around me, this sort of idea that if I mess up, that, you know, it's going to be a big deal. And it's not new to our family, this issue. But so recently we've had conversations about this other family member who deals with it, and just the way that they talk about this person, it is kind of scary to think if I did fall into that lifestyle again, that the way that they go about with that relationship, I wouldn't want to, you know, be, you know, cut off from communication or treated like the black sheep, which, you know, by my family have been treated that way, as well as from schoolmates and such and other people in church.
Levi, I think that life has taught you and family has taught you that love is conditional, and that God's love and his grace and his forgiveness is also conditional. So it makes sense that you would ask that question. And I want to acknowledge the struggle that you're going through and the courage that you have to choose God and his way. That's not a popular choice right now. And so that you would have such a heart for him. I also grew up believing that it was all about performance, and that any one of my sins could end me in hell, no matter how much I loved God or no matter how much I had tried to live well around all those temptations. And I have been relieved to learn later in life that that God loves us no matter what we do, and he knows. He's outside of time, so he already knows all the sins you and I will ever commit that we have not yet committed. And that when he died for us on the cross, he died knowing all of Levi's sins and all of Alice's sins, and he died anyhow for us. There are a couple of, I would say, conditions, because he asks us to forgive other people, and that enables him to be able to forgive us more. So some of the power is in our hands. So it would be good for you to question, how are you doing on forgiving the people that have mistreated you in your life and in this particular struggle? And working towards forgiving them opens up more of God's grace and his blessing and his forgiveness to us. And of course, he wants you to continue to try to stay aligned with his will and his way. But he'll love you and he'll forgive you, especially as you ask for it and forgive others, no matter what. Now, one third piece of this is that we need people around us that also live out this message to us of loving us no matter what we do. And I think you could use a few more of those people in your life and count us as part of that team.
Sherry, anything to add?
Hey, Levi, you know what? I just recently sat with a family, with a Levi, just like you. And I opened up some family dialogue around the wounds that were shared over their same-sex attraction. And you know what? There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of hurt that needed to be expressed. There were a lot of wounds that needed to be talked about and honored. And I would highly recommend that you bring your folks our other family members into counseling so that these wounds don't heal open like a bleeding sore, so that you all can lay down some of what was said, some of what was spoken, some of the judgment that came towards you, and so that you guys can walk forward with a bigger understanding. Is that something you'd be willing to consider?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would. Whether or not they are, that's mm-hmm. a different question. But
well, but I want you to have absolutely. Them. Can you have them listen to the show? Because I want to ask them, for your sake, to go into some counseling with one of our counselors and just talk about the hurt that came through their judgment.
Hey, we'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back.
Claire, yes. Could I make a comment about that last call, please?
Please.
I was thinking about how God asks us to love our neighbor as ourself. And if we're struggling to love ourself, we are handicapped in being able to love others well. And so if we struggle to accept God's forgiveness and to forgive ourselves, it can feel like we're cut off from God. It can actually destroy our relationship with God if we don't do something about it, we don't get help for it. So a really important part of our healing process is actually learning to accept that forgiveness and to actively forgive ourselves or that inner child, that younger part of us that committed whatever unforgivable crime we're struggling with now. So I just encourage all of us to consider that and how it may apply to you, because it brings freedom and it brings more grace.
I remember John or Henry, I don't remember which one, said one time when somebody said they were having struggle forgiving themselves, they say, "What, do you have higher standards than God?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forgive you. Why won't you forgive yourself? And I never thought of it in those terms mm-hmm. of higher
simply.
Standards than God.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go talk. Where was it? There was a call.
Mel is who you
Mel,
wanted.
Mel, there it is. Yeah, Mel, line 7. Hello, Mel. Listens on WLTA from
Hello.
Atlanta, Georgia. How can we help you, Mel?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Can you guys hear me well?
Yes.
My phone cuts out sometimes.
We hear you fine.
You can hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so my question is this. I've been married 4 years, and I'm not sure I ever really loved my wife, even before we got married, deeply. I didn't even consummate the relationship for about 3 days because I just felt like maybe I married the wrong person and I was kind of in despair or whatever. And the trigger that keeps coming up and why I don't think, I'm not sure how deeply I love her is my pathway to kind of that attraction that unlocks the sexual is the intellect. I like to have very stimulating, you know, on a heart level discussions, very insightful conversations. I have a pretty insightful sense of humor, and my wife doesn't really kick into any of that. And I just, sometimes I get angry. I don't really value her thoughts. I don't feel that they're very logical or contribute a lot to our problems that we have to solve or whatever. And I tune her out. I mean, I even kind of get a little snippy because it's just not really what I really wanting to, desiring to hear. And so it just caused a lack of intimacy. I have no desire on my end.
And Mel, what led to you getting married to her? What attracted you then?
Well, I liked her because she had a good, pure background. She was a believer. She had, came from a Christian family. We were pure before marriage and all that. And I liked all that. And I could be myself around her. But now I'm realizing it was kind of like maybe because she's kind of a wet noodle and didn't have a lot of, you know, didn't have a strong personality. And so there's positives and negatives to that. But I voiced this to the pastor who was getting married to us, and he kind of thought it was a red flag. But then he talked about it with his wife and said, oh, I think you guys can work through this. And so he decided to marry us anyway.
I think there's a lot to learn about intimacy, Mel, because intimacy is so much more than just the sexual and physical aspect. And I don't know if where you want to go with this one.
So, this is going to hurt, Mel. Ugh, I wish I could be sitting with you because I really want you to feel my love as I'm walking in with you on this conversation because it's hard. But first, let me honor your brilliance. First, let me honor your intellect because you've probably always had that. You've probably always had the ability to talk and love engaging and stimulating conversation. But what you were missing when you met your wife is acceptance, self-acceptance. She accepted you as you were. You didn't have to be perfect. But what I hear you doing with her is you have these unrealistic expectations and you're judging her.
Yeah.
It's self-righteousness is really what it is.
Yeah.
It's self-righteousness. It is. And I, as I say that, I love the fact that you're even saying it is. It is. So it's hard to live with that. Right? The Pharisees lived from that place. And so they would judge others. And so as you look at your wife and as you even go back in your story with us to kind of put responsibility on the pastor, right? Remove, you're like, well, he told us. But really, it puts yourself in this helpless place. And you weren't helpless. You chose her. You chose her because she calmed your heart.
And made a commitment.
And you didn't feel that she was judging you. She just loved on you. And now you're calling that a wet noodle. You're disparaging those very things, that safety that she created. Because over here, you're looking for her to be perfect, and she's not. If it wouldn't have been that, Mel, it would have been something else. And so I want to appeal to your heart for you to look at this part of yourself, this very smart part of yourself, and to ask you what you want to do with that. Because it's, you can live your life from this place of self-righteousness. And you're going to lose people in your world.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and I've thought through that a lot. I totally agree with that. I do teach, and I get a lot of fulfillment out of that. So there's other outlets I have for it. For her, it would be right, and she's involved with that, and it's great. It kind of feels like a ministry together, but just in the private at home, I don't, I just don't feel we have a deep connection, and I can't, you know, I read a lot. I read a lot of the books, a lot of the Christian psychology. I just finished, you know, Take Your Life Back, and I can't get her to read these things so we can be on the same page. I want to have these kind of discussions, and it's not just intellect. It's really heart-level things, because I'm a very honest, open kind of guy. I don't keep anything from her, and I just don't feel a lot of contribution. And
but if I be really honest? Can I be really honest? If I felt as much judgment as she feels from you, do you think I would want to bring my heart to you?
I think you are.
No, not as an end result.
Mel, I do think you're squashing any intellectualism that she would have felt safe bringing to you previously. So you're kind of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is exacerbating the whole cycle with your wife. There is hope. There's absolutely hope for you and your marriage, but it's going to take a couple things on your part. I think you're battling spirits of pride and judgmentalism and criticism. So I believe there's a spiritual battle going on around you, and it's distancing you from your wife. And so I have a prayer for you to say, and a couple of practical spiritual things for you to do on a regular basis. I think every day, multiple times a day, you should be praying aloud, "I do not align myself with criticism, and I rebuke any spirits of pride and judgmentalism, any spirit of arrogance, in the name of Jesus." You got to put God's armor on and battle this. It's not the battle against her and her lack of intelligence. It's a battle against the enemy and what he's trying to do to your marriage. I'd also have you begin confessing to her and asking her forgiveness for being snippy to her and having a harsh tone with her. Lastly, I call you to daily build up your wife by pointing out the good in her, her purity, her love for God, what look for the good things to build up. And this three-pronged battle, it will help. If you do this regularly, it will make a difference by God's grace.
You know, Mel, I want to send you a book. It's called Sacred Marriage. And part of the reason I want to send you that book is the subtitle. I've read this book, and Dr. Stoop, who's been on this program for a number of years, has said the best book on marriage.
Written. This is Gary Thomas's book, yep.
And the subtitle is, "What If Marriage Was Meant to Make You Holy Instead of Happy?" And I think if you'll read that book, it might touch you in a spot where you would do some of these things and really take to heart what Sherry and Alice are saying. And I would only add that I love what Mylon says. Mylon says, "Get a PhD in your wife and in your wife's hurts. What pain has she had in her life? And why is she the way that she is?" And it's all about getting to the bottom of her and why she is the way that she is. And minister to her in every way that you can. And it's a selfless thing. But pride is the problem of all of life's issues, not just yours and mine, the whole world. You know, what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now? That's a big pride issue on both sides of the aisle. And so I'm just going to appeal to you to take that humble spirit and put to practice what these two ladies are saying. And I just want to thank you for calling us. You know, we're going to be here another hour, so make sure you call us at 800-229-3000. We'll get another call in after the break, and if we didn't get to your call this hour, please hold on. We'll get you in the next hour. And we'll be right back right after this.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Just want to encourage you before we take our next call that we love what we do. We find that God is blessing what we do, and He gets the honor, He gets the glory, and we need your support to continue doing what we do, to set the stage for Him to come in and do what He does. So if you could make a gift to New Life, we'll send you a calendar. If you could join Club New Life, I want to appeal to you to call our 800 number, 800-NEW-LIFE, and ask about Club New Life. What does it take to join? What are the benefits? I don't want to spend time when we should be taking a call to do that. But if you would do that, that would be great. And let's go on to our next call. We're going to talk with Anna in Los Angeles. Anna listens on KKLA, and she's right there. Anna, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to leave my husband, but I want to make sure that this is something that God wants me to do. We've been married for about 25 years, and throughout our marriage, he's been in and out of drug addiction. He was clean for the past year, but now the past month he relapsed, and I just don't want to go through the cycle again. You know, we have five kids, three adult children that are out of the home, but I have two younger ones, and just to see what the damage that's been caused to my older kids because of this. I just want to make sure that this is something that God wants me to do, And I know I've had a lot of people tell me that this is what I need to do, but I feel like if I am abandoning him when he's in this situation.
Anna, what a harrowing marriage this has been. Oh, it must feel like at times it's a nightmare, and that even the clean time can be difficult with the fear of another relapse when it's been so off and on. Oh.
Yeah.
And with two young kids in the home, I think you're right in considering what lines do you need to draw and how to keep your home safe. How is your husband handling his relapse?
He blames me. He blames me. He blames my older kids. When he's the little times that he's sober, he's angry and moody, yelling at me. And so, I get a lot of anxiety when I'm next to him.
And so Anna, is he fighting the relapse? Is he fighting to get back on track?
He's not. Okay. He's telling me to give him a reason to fight. And you know, I tell him to do it for the kids, but he wants me to pull him out of there. But I'm just tired of doing it all the time.
Yeah. You know what, girl? You fought well. And sometimes we have to end well because you can't rescue him. You've given him so many opportunities, and really his addiction is his issue, but it's deeply impacting you. So why are you afraid you're going to abandon him? That's an interesting thought when he's really abandoned you and your kids with his addiction. So how is it that you feel like you're going to abandon him?
Well, I feel that if I leave, that he's going to be in a worse spot, that he might even, overdose or something, you know, like happen. I feel I see that he's abandoned us, but I don't know. I guess because I've always been by his side. We've known each other since we were little kids, literally, and we had a child at 17.
Right.
So,
but has he changed under your watch with you? No. So, girl,
no.
You're going to have to release the outcome to God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to release the outcome, because can you control if he's going to, you know, use more? Can you mm-hmm. control the fact if he decides to try to take his life? Can you change that one iota?
No.
Okay. That is reality. That is reality. And so you're going to have to get people around you in Al-Anon, and you're going to have to make the strong move to start the legal process to separate and mm-hmm. divorce. That's what it looks like. And you're going to have to let go and leave him to God.
Yeah.
And Anna, you're right to consider the risks, because it's a horrible price to have to pay. And the guilt that you might feel and the regret you might feel, those are all real. And so that support Sherry's talking about, the people that will speak truth to you and that will hold you up during the darker days, you'll need that. And you can take the divorce and a step-by-step process, because perhaps the legal mm-hmm. separation brings about change. Sometimes it does for some people. But I'll tell you, I have worked with so many addicts now in recovery who have said, if I wasn't left in jail by my family overnight, if I wasn't put out onto the street because I wouldn't stop using, I would not be clean today and I would not be alive today. Addicts need to hit a bottom, and some need a very low bottom to wake up and realize that they need help, and to then accept God's help.
Yeah, I know. It's just hard for me to have the courage to do it.
To finally stop taking care of him. That's really how you're going to have to see it, and to start taking care of yourself and your kiddos. That's what it is.
Yeah.
To finally stop taking care of him in your mind.
Let this. Yeah. We've got a book we want to send you. It's Understanding and Loving a Person with Addiction to Drugs and Alcohol. And I hope that'll help you. And I hope you'll be brave to take this step that Alice and Sherry are encouraging for you. And we'll be praying for you. I want to just close the show with the scripture. First off, though, I want to read. This was from a book called Humility by Andrew Murray. And he says, all the wretchedness of this world, all the wars and bloodshed among the nations, all its selfishness and suffering, all its ambitions and jealousies, all the broken hearts and embittered lives, all the daily unhappiness, have their origin in pride, either our own or that of someone else. And he, I mean, there's so much that he writes. But I just love what Paul writes in Philippians. He talks, he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Mm. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So, I want to leave you with that. Just so many of our calls that we get, and so much of what we face every day in life and what our world faces, is pride. And humility goes out the window when you swallow that pill. But we have the antidote. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us, and he is our advocate. And you can count on him. And we love what we do, and we need your support. And we need your support because people's lives need to be different than they are, and they can learn that better than anywhere else that I know of by calling this program, going to our workshops, seeking our counselors, reading our resources, listening to our tapes, watching our videos, because we want them to be introduced into redemptive relationships, understanding God's truth, and finding a different way in life. So thank you for bearing with us. We're on for another hour. Call us 800-229-3000. And Sherry and Alice will answer all the tough questions, and I will be here to try to moderate and keep them from fighting each other, because it's such a hard thing to do. Thank you for calling. We'll be back right after this, and we'll take some more calls. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.